Well, for those of you who were here this morning, I'm not going to take a long introduction. If you weren't here, you'll get to know him real fast. Pastor Daniel came in here and he ripped the paint off the walls. That white boy preached. Man, that dude preached. And he's going to come and bring a new fiery word. So one more time, I want you to give a loud shout of ovation to Pastor Daniel Gray as he comes and brings the... Come on, we can do better than that. Give it up for him.
The gathering, where y'all at? Come on, somebody. Anybody love Jesus in the room tonight? Come on. You may be seated. I greet you with the joy of Jesus. Man, I'm so excited to be here. I've been just sensing in my spirit. God's going to do something special tonight. I really mean that. Something unique. Something that for many of us will look back on years down the road. And we'll say it's more than a memory. It was more than just emotion. It was more than hype. God did something in that room on that evening at the gathering at Destiny Church in Joplin that changed everything. I truly believe that. I just want to take a moment. I've already done this morning, but I do want to do this again because I understand the power and the importance of giving honor. So I want to honor a few people. First and foremost, I think we ought to just take a moment and shout down the lead pastors of this church for opening up this facility and saying, hey, we want the whole community to come. So Pastor Gene and Mel, thank you guys so much for all that you do. And you guys are incredible. Also, I don't know if y'all noticed, but Pastor TJ, he pretty bad. And his wife over here singing that song just took us right on into the Holy of Holies. I think y'all ought to give the young adult pastors here at this church a round of applause as well. All the faith, all the energy, all the time, all that they've done to plan this. It's just incredible to see what God has done. I also just want to say thank you to anybody who may be here from another ministry, another church. It's so cool to see churches in a community come together like this. And I think that there's power. You know, the Bible talks about the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. The bond of peace in a world where, you know, denominations are hitting at each other and certain sects of beliefs are hitting at each other. It's cool to see people in a community come together. There's something about that spirit of unity that brings peace. When there's so much going on in our culture and our society, there are some things some of us in this room could probably disagree on. But there's something we can all agree on, and that is that Jesus is Lord, that He is the King of Kings. He's the King of Joplin, Missouri, and He's going to move in power tonight. I brought my Bible with me. I hope you brought yours. I'm going to go this evening to a passage of Scripture that's very familiar for most of us. It's Acts chapter 9. I believe God's given me a word specifically for this time, this conference, this night. And I believe if you just open up your spirit, it's going to hit you right where it needs to hit you. In Acts chapter 9, we'll begin our reading in verse 1. Acts chapter 9, begin reading in verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV translation. If you have another translation, that's quite all right. It reads, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." It says, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, somebody say the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. We see here in verse 3 what we just sang about. We see an open heaven. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now, get up and go. Somebody say now. A lot more force. Say now. Say it like you want $1 million and you want it right.
Now.
Whew, that always works. Now, get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. But when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. I want to talk to you this evening here at the gathering for just a few moments from the subject, from the thought. I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. Let's pray. Awesome God, in Jesus' name, we come before you now thanking you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, we're not praying, God, that we would have emotion and hype, but we're praying we would have a move of your spirit. Just what we're seeing in this passage, Lord, we're praying for the kind of anointing that opens the heaven and heals the sick, opens the heaven and calls people into their destiny, opens the heaven and lets us feel, see, and encounter the risen Savior. God, I'm praying, Lord, that you would manifest your presence in this place. Lord, we're praying, God, that we would leave here saying this very thing, that this is going to be more than a memory. This is going to be something that shifts my entire life, my ministry, my family. God, tonight, put dreams in the hearts of believers. God, call people into their purpose and destiny. Lord, we know that you can do all that your word says that you could do. Devil, we serve you notice, and we want you to know that the only place you belong tonight is under our feet. So God, now we decree and declare that someone's going to leave this place different than the way they came in Jesus' name. If you believe that, come on, just give Jesus a worthy praise right there. I love this passage of scripture because what we get to see, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We get to see a man who's having an encounter with Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is my favorite person. There's a lot of people in the Bible that I like. You know, I'm a preacher, so I get down with characters in the Bible. I like Peter. I like David. I like certain people that you get to see in the pages of the holy canon of Scripture. But out of all them peoples, when I get to heaven, I ain't going to David's house. I ain't going to hang out with Peter. When I get through them pearly gates, baby, the first place I'm going is Jesus' house. I can't wait to see Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I'm going to go straight to his house. I'm going to go hang out at his mansion. I'm going to pet his lions because there's animals in heaven in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go hang out with Jesus. I don't know if you think about this, but in my sanctified imagination, these things go through running through my mind. And I just can't wait to go and spend time with Jesus. I really just want to see him do normal stuff. Just to see him eat a sandwich. Just to see the bread of life eat a sandwich. By the way, have you ever thought, like, how would Jesus do things like that, normal things? Like would he eat it whole? Would he cut it in triangles like your mama did? Would he break the crust off, you know? Matter of fact, he probably had to eat it whole because if you broke it, it might multiply. I just want to see Jesus do normal stuff. Y'all, I hope he has a pool because I want to see him walk on it. You know what I'm saying? I love me some Jesus. I love Jesus so much. Do you want to know why? Because what you may not know about this preacher, this youth pastor, this chaplain for an NFL football team, this person who gets to travel all over the world and be on television and all that, and I get to sit with people who are multimillionaires and give them the gospel and pray for them, and I oftentimes wonder, God, how have you given me all these opportunities? And people get to see sometimes the glitz and the glamour, because by the way, if you follow me on social media, just like everybody else in this room, you're going to see all the highlights. You're going to see the highlight reel. But what you don't know about Daniel Gray is 14 years ago, I was an alcoholic. I was a drug dealer. I lived in the back of a strip club at 17 years old, selling ecstasy and cocaine to strippers and prostitutes. My life was completely different. I was lost. I was broke, busted, and disgusted. I had been in and out of jail 8 different times, arrested for horrific crimes. I was involved with people that if you saw some of the things that I saw, it would make your mind go crazy. If you could see a picture of me 14 years ago, you probably would not even recognize me. I looked different. I talked different. Praise God, I smelled different. Everything was different about Daniel Gray 14 years ago. Everything was different. I left a party one night after partying all night long about 5 a.m. after drinking and drugs and pills. I left this party about 5 a.m. heavily intoxicated. When I got into my car, I started driving down the highway when I lost consciousness at the wheel of my car. I veered into oncoming traffic, hit a median, flipped several times, landed in a ditch next to a small creek in Athens, Alabama. When the paramedics arrived at the scene of my accident and they cut me out of my mangled car, there was a moment where it's medically documented. I stopped breathing, my heart stopped beating, I was dead. They put me in the back of the ambulance. They cut away my clothes. They began to perform CPR on me. They used the AED device on me, and they got me breathing again, and they got my heart pumping again. And a lot of times when I get to travel, especially in schools, I can see people, and as I'm sharing this story, I can see people go, "Well, no wonder you're doing what you're doing today, brother. You like died. You better give your life to Jesus. He done brought you back from the dead." You know? But you want to know what's crazy about this whole story? I did not change. I woke up in the hospital the next morning. I'll never forget this. The nurse said, "You were in a horrible car accident." I didn't really know why I was there. She said, "You were in a car accident and you died." She said, "The paramedics literally revived you and rushed you to the hospital." She said, "We've been trying to get fluids in your system." And she said, you didn't die because of injury. She said, "Your car was total, but you didn't die because of injuries. You died because of alcohol poisoning and drug overdose." She said, "It's hard for us even to believe you were the one driving in the car, because you should not have been able to even operate a vehicle in the condition that you were in. Your body literally shut down and your heart stopped beating." And I remember after her saying that to me, I remember saying, "How soon can I leave?" Because all I wanted to do was go right back to the same lifestyle, right back to the party and the drink and the drugs. I just wanted to get away and go back to who I was. 6 months later, I was at another party. It's pretty much the story of my life. You go back 15, 14 years ago, story of my life was just parties and drugs and alcohol. I was at another party, and there was about 25 people there. It was shortly after prom, and we were there at this party, and my best friend got into a fight with his older brother. In the middle of this fight, I mean a fist fight, one of my closest friends, who was my best friend's older brother, runs into the house where all these people are. We're drinking, partying. Knocks over a bookshelf. Reaches down and picks up a loaded .38 pistol that none of us knew that he had. Put it to his head and pulled the trigger. My friend's life gone in a moment, in an instant, because of suicide. After that party, after going to the hospital that night and crying and not knowing what to do and realizing that we had lost our friend, I was at the funeral a couple days later. It was after the funeral, I was sitting in my bedroom, alone, in fear, not sure what to do with my life. And I remember being in my bedroom after the funeral. And the best way I can explain it to you is that I just began to hear questions. Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? And I had no answer for these questions, but somehow, me, an unbeliever, an agnostic, somehow I knew that it was God trying to get my attention. And I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't know how to come to an altar. I didn't know how to throw up my hands and surrender to Jesus. All I knew was God was trying to get my attention. The best way I can explain what happened is I just said, "God, if you're real, God, if you're out there, I'm going to come after you." I was on probation in two states at the time. I had to call my probation officer in Alabama, my probation officer in Tennessee. I said, "Hey, if you guys will let me leave the state," I said, "I'm going to go change my life." I called my dad, who lived in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. I said, "Dad, if you'll come get me," I said, "I've got drugs, I've got counterfeit money, I've got guns under my bed, but by the time you get here, I will get rid of all of this stuff and I want to change my life." My dad said this, he said, "We've been praying for you." And I realized in that moment that that's why God had got my attention. You see, ladies and gentlemen, just like Saul, I experienced an open heaven and Jesus was coming to get my attention. I made a decision to leave. I got in the car with my dad. We made that 5-hour drive. He made me listen to sermons the whole way. We got to Atlanta, Georgia. I walked to a church very similar to this church. They were worshiping. They were singing. They were praising. They were excited. And for the first time in years, I began to weep. And God began to work on my heart and soften the sinner's heart. And I went home that evening and I just laid on my bed face down on the pillow. And I just said, "Jesus, I'm giving my life to you." And I've never been the same since because of one encounter with Jesus. I found out something about God is that He doesn't take a long time to do something that can make an eternal difference in your life. So I began to walk after God. I began to serve Jesus. So maybe now you would understand in my introduction why I'm so excited about what's happening in Acts chapter number 9. Because what we get to see is we get to see a guy who is just as messed up as I was encountering Jesus. His name is Saul. Saul was a religious man. Saul actually studied under the most respected rabbi and teacher of the Hebrew scriptures that there was in his time. He knew the scriptures forward and backward. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the church. Because of his religious belief, he believed that anybody who followed Jesus, anybody who the Bible says belonged to the way, because they followed Jesus, they believed Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus died on a cross so that we could be saved and have access to God. They believed anybody belonging to this group called the way were a curse to what they believed, because there's a scripture that says any man who hangs on a tree is a curse. So Saul basically was a religious terrorist. He was an ISIS kind of leader. And he says, anybody who says they're going to believe in Jesus, they've got to die. Y'all, to put it in modern day terms, Saul was a thug. Saul was what we call gangsta. He was a murderer. He was a killer. So Saul is leading this group of Pharisees. It's kind of like one of those gang wars. You got the Pharisees and you got this other group over here called the Way. So Saul's riding with his homies and he says, yo, there's a bunch of these Christians belonging to the way. They're going to be in this place called Damascus. So we're going to take these letters. We're going to ride to Damascus and we're going to kill all these Christians. Now, in my imagination, again, y'all pray for me. But in my imagination, I just picture Saul kind of like one of them gangster rappers. Now, I know Drake and Meek Mill and all of them, they got their little battle, but they ain't for real gangster. Back in my day, it was Tupac and Biggie. Who can help me right here? Tupac and Biggie were like really thugs. How do you know that? Because they're both dead, okay? So they were for real gangsters, all right? And I remember being a kid in the early 90s, you know. I remember being a kid and it was Tupac and Biggie, the East Coast, West Coast rap war battle. And what would they do on these songs like Hit 'Em Up? They would breathe out murderous threats against one another. The Bible says in Acts 9, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Can you see God, Saul, the gangster, the thug, riding with all his Pharisees, going to Damascus? Can you see his donkey, by the way? You know his donkey, when he smiles at you, got a grill? Iced out, his hooves are chromed out, you know, and he's just trotting to Damascus, going to go kill some Christians. And he's kind of like one of those gangster rappers Saul was. Yo, what's up? My name is Saul. Persecuting Christians, I kill them all. Y'all don't have to ask us, boy, you know me. Riding to Damascus on my donkey. Are y'all with me? So Saul is gangster. Saul is a thug. Saul is breathing out murderous threats. But the Bible shows us something in Acts 9. It says, as he's on his journey, as they neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven, an open heaven, a light from heaven flashed around him. And Saul finds himself flat on his back in the presence of Jesus. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul answers his question with a question of his own. He says, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And if I can, if I may, I want to draw your attention now to what Jesus says next. He says, now get up and go, and I'll tell you what you must do. I love that Jesus says now. See, because this thug, this murderer, one could argue he's the number one opponent of Christianity. Jesus comes and reveals himself to Saul and says, I have something for you to do, but I don't want you to wait for a while. I don't need you to enlist in a program to learn how to do it. The time is now. See, I love that Jesus says now. If you hang around me long enough, you'll find out something about me. You'll find out that I'm a now kind of guy. I love the now. I like the now. I don't know if I can sit on this. If you see me sitting around sometimes, I have this problem. My knee just starts doing that. I don't know why. It's just something about me. You know, I'm just like, what are we doing? Where are we going? We got to go. We're great. We're going to do something. We're going to go. You know, I just like to go. I'm a little hyperactive, okay? I like the now. I'm a now kind of guy. And I've been around the church long enough now. I've been saved long enough to hear people say things like, well, brother, your season will come one day. Maybe it's not the Lord's will for you to be healed today. I'm from the South, y'all. Maybe it's not the Lord's will for you to be healed today. Maybe He'll do it another time. There's a season and a time, and patience is a virtue. And I understand some of those things are biblical and they are actual scriptures, but I think sometimes we make a theology out of waiting for something that God can do now. Hear me. I want to speak to the young adults for a moment, and I want to speak directly from the theme of what this night is all about. Nobody asked me to do this. Nobody made me do this. I just felt it as I was praying for you. Hear me when I say this. You are not next if you are a millennial. You are now. Millennials are running Fortune 500 companies today. Millennials are on the cutting edge of business and entertainment, and dare I say, even church world. There are millennials who are leaps and bounds above where millennials are in the kingdom of God, because they believe their time is now. And while you're waiting, they're taking the reins of leadership. And hear me, if you're not next, if you're now, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? See, Jesus says, now, maybe I'm the only one in the room that understands the power and the importance of, maybe I'm the only one that likes the now. Maybe I'm the only now kind of guy. I don't know, but when I read my Bible, I see things like, today is the day that the Lord has made. When I look in the Bible, I even see Jesus saying to Saul, now get up and go. Jesus said to a criminal on the cross, He said, today you will be with me in paradise. I see a God who can heal the issues of blood now. I see a God who can split the Red Sea now. I see a God who can take us into and out of the fiery furnace now. Here's my question. What about now? Maybe I'm the only one that goes to the fast food establishments and think, is this fast? See, what you need to know about me is my wife couldn't be here. She's in Florida with our two kids, and she's amazing. She wishes she could be here. But my wife, you see her, man, she's so beautiful, but her cooking is just as beautiful, y'all. God blessed me with a woman that knows how to cook. Thank you, Jesus. See, my wife learned how to cook from her grandma. There's something about learning how to cook from a grandma. You know what I'm saying? Lots of wisdom and experience. And when you learn how to cook like that, it's not like putting something in a radioactive box and hitting some numbers. No. My wife cooks with like real food. Like it's called from scratch. There's like ingredients and there's stuff, and the kitchen's kind of a mess, and there's stuff flying around, and there's this thing that my generation doesn't know much about. It's called a stove, and it's got fire. And this fire makes the food cook in a special way that it tastes so much better than this radioactive box thing that my generation loves to use. So sometimes though, I'm at church, I'm at work, working at my church, and I decide, you know, I'm going to go get some lunch. And I'm going to surprise my wife. I'm just going to go home for lunch. I'm just going to have lunch with her before I go back to the office. So sometimes I go to my house, and I walk in, and I surprise her. She wasn't really expecting me, and she's already cooking dinner. Well, I came to get lunch. And so I'm kind of looking on the stove, and I'm realizing that this is going to take a while. And so I'm just like, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that. So I grab the keys, I get out the door, I get into my car, and I drive to the fast food establishment of my choice, whatever your local poison station may be. I go to the fast food restaurant. Have you ever been there? You pull up to the little thing, they always look the same, the kind of dilapidated, broken down thing, says, please order here. And the voice comes over like this. Can you please take your mouth off the microphone, please? Thank you. Yeah. I have a number one, number three, number four. I got to pick up some combos for my buddies. So I'm going to get three combos, number one, number three, number four. Thank you, I guess. And then you pull forward and you're waiting in line. It's fast food. I'm waiting in line. Going nowhere fast. And if you're like me, what do? You got to do something, because I'm an out kind of guy. So I start picking up the trash in the back from the last time I was there, you know, from the last time I went to the fast food place, gathering the trash, because when else am I going to do that? And finally, you get up closer, one car moves, but you're still waiting in line, haven't even got to the window yet. So I start yelling things out the window.
Y'all got to kill the cow? Let's go. Wake Ronald up or something. I'm trying to go. My fries better be hot. I'm just saying. Like last time, this time they better be hot. With some salt. You get to the window, I'm ready. I'm like, I got to go. I got to get back to the office. Get to the window. And so she tells you the total. You hand her your card. She takes the card and swipes it, gets back to you. You put your card down and you're waiting for the food. And she goes, oh, please pull forward to the next window. Thanks. You pull forward and I'm still waiting in line. And finally, when I get to this poor innocent young lady who hands me my food, I ain't got no time. I just snatch the bag and I go off to work. I get to the office. Remember, I ordered 3 combos for my homies and myself. I get there. I got 2 combos, but I'm missing mine because I wanted it now. Maybe I'm the only one who likes it now. Maybe I'm the only one that walks into the public restroom where for some reason everything is wet. I don't know why. I'll never understand who goes into the restroom, turns on the sink, and just starts anointing the whole place, baptizing. Who are you and what is your problem? Jeez. Do you go into the public restroom, you know, and fellas, we do our business, and then we go and we wash our hands. Praise the Lord. When I wash my hands, then I go over to get some paper towels to dry my hands. But because we live in a now culture and a now society, no longer do I have to rip and get the paper towels manually. I have an automatic paper towel dispenser. Have you ever been there? Somebody walks in and your saved friends are like, are you trying to cast the devil out? Fellas, what do? Finally, we just get frustrated. You know, the thing finally recognizes we're there, by the way, and it goes like this. Me. It's a little piece of, what am I going to dry with this? So we throw it to the side. And fellas, what do? We just kind of wipe off. We've been doing it since we were in middle school. We wipe off, you walk out, and there's always a group of females standing there going, you okay? You got that? You good down there? Everything come out all right? Everything good? Okay. Because we like it now. We like it now when it comes to so many things. But here's my question to you tonight. What are you waiting for when it comes to your destiny? What are you waiting for as it pertains to your purpose? What are you waiting for to get serious about the call of God that's on your life? I love to ask this question to young people. Well, what are you waiting for? And I get varied responses from people. One of the responses is the intellectual millennial.
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Pastor. You see, I am merely waiting on the matriculation of the manifestation of the third person of the triune Godhead. And when I feel the presence of Jesus then calling me into my destiny, then I will know that it's not in season or out of season, but it is the perfect season for me to step into my destiny. And when I feel the presence of the Holy... What?
I have a degree in the Bible and you lost me. Or then there's this other response that I get sometimes from young people. I'm like, what are you waiting for? Well, you see, I got issues. So I can't really, you know, I can't get serious yet. I got to handle some business. I got issues right now. You don't even know me like that. Like if you can see, I got issues. Do you want to know why Jesus said now to Saul? Because Jesus has the uncanny ability to look past all of your issues, all of your drama, all of your mistakes, all of your pain, all of your memories, and he sees what he really put on the inside of you from the moment you were born into this world. Jesus sees past your pain and he sees your purpose. He sees past your struggle and he sees the strength that it's going to develop. He sees past all that other stuff and he sees what's on the inside of you that sometimes we can't see that clearly. He says, now, get up and go and you'll be told what you must do. See, what is amazing about this story to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Bible literally says, remember Saul was riding to Damascus with a bunch of his homies, his cronies, and the Bible literally says that they, when Saul's having this open heaven with Jesus, it said they heard the sound but did not see anyone. They heard the sound, but did not see anything. They didn't see it because it wasn't their vision. See, when God gives you a vision, many times people may hear what you're saying, but they don't see what you're seeing. You're saying, man, God's going to do something in my life. God's going to take me. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be an author. Man, God's going to use me. I mean, I started serving in church. I'm more serious about God than I've ever been before. They hear what you're saying, but they don't see what you're seeing because God did not give that vision to that person. He gave it to you. And if you want to know the truth, when you see something from God like that, you are actually seeing the unseen. You're seeing through the eyes of faith, not the eyes of your friends and your family. And all the haters and naysayers that say, man, I don't know about that, but go ahead. We have to learn how to turn our haters into elevators and say, you may judge me, you may point your finger at me, you may say I'll never be anything, but that's just more fuel to the fire to prove to you and everybody else that God is real and God's going to use me. If you could see my family when I gave my life to God, oh man, if you could talk to my friends who when I said I'm giving my life to Jesus, they said, pah, yeah, you'll be back. You'll be addicted again. You'll start drinking again. Man, you'll come right back to the streets because that's all you know. Man, yeah, right. We'll see how long it lasts. Those same people have come to our churches, have come to the church at Chapel Hill and given their life to Jesus. I can mention one after the other, because when other people see what God has done in your life, they will say God must be real because God will get the glory from your story. And when He gets the glory, everybody sees it and everybody says, I want what you have. Interesting too to note, the Bible says, Saul, after he experiences this, it says he fell. Somebody say he fell. He fell to the ground. He fell to the ground. He fell to the dirt. He fell to the low place. See, this is important because it gives us a picture of a new life. Because remember, in Genesis, when God formed and fashioned man, He formed and fashioned us from the dust, from the dirt of the ground. And he breathed life into us. And God was giving Saul a new start. So He had to take him back to the starting place again. John 12:24 says, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, if it goes to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. Oh, this helps me understand why Saul, when he would become Paul the Apostle, would write in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died with Jesus. And it is no longer I who live, but the life which I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God. See, God was giving Saul a new start. God saw Paul the Apostle on the inside of Saul the murderer. But Saul had to die so Paul could live. Here's the question we must ask ourselves. Have I died to who I used to be? Have I died to who I am tonight, but God's calling more out of me? Have you ever wondered why people come to events like this, or camps, or conferences, places where God is moving in power, and there's emotion, and there's hype, and people say, man, I'm never going to be the same again, and it's only a matter of days, and they're right back where they were before. Have you ever wondered why that happens? Well, let me submit to you that maybe, perchance, possibly, it is because we leave experiences like this one, emotional, when we need to leave them dead. Dead to who I was, dead to my past, dead to my old way of thinking, that I am no longer being conformed to that person, but I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind into the image of Jesus Christ. He gets up from the ground then. The ground. What's so special about the ground? Genesis chapter 1, God says, let there be light. Let there be a vault between water and water called sky. God said, let the dry ground be separated from the water. And God called the dry ground land. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants with fruit, with seed inside of each fruit and or plant according to its own various kinds. A lot of Bible there. Let me help you. What God is saying to us all the way back in Genesis 1 is that I have placed the seed of everything inside of itself. In other words, whatever something was created to become, God says, I put it inside of that thing. God says, whatever something is supposed to be, whatever something is supposed to eventually become, God says, I already put it inside of the thing. Young person, that's why you need to stop saying to yourself and everybody else that you're going to your future, because you cannot go to your future, because your future isn't out there somewhere. Your future is on the inside of you, and you release it every day by your words and your actions and your decisions. Your future is on the inside of who you are. Your future's inside of you. If I had an apple, I could explain this, because if I had an apple, I would take a bite out of it, I would throw it over my shoulder, and I would spit the seed out. And I would say to you, what do I have in my hand? And the smart people in the room would say, an apple seed? And you would be right about the fact, but not the truth. You see, the definition of the word fact is a description of the present state of a thing. So the fact is, I have an apple seed. But the truth is, I have an apple tree. Well, no, because if we're talking about the truth, I guess the truth is I have a seed that will produce a tree that has fruit. No, I guess if I have a seed, that means really it's a tree that has fruit that have seeds. No, because I guess if I have a seed in my hand, the truth would be I have a tree that has fruit, that have seeds, that have trees, that have fruit, that have seeds, that have trees, that have fruit, that have seeds, that have trees, that have fruit, that have seeds, that have trees, that have fruit, that have seeds, that have trees, that have fruit. And it never ends, because with God, that's why we call him omnipotent, omnipotent. With God, he starts something that never ends. He's so powerful. See, if I had time to talk to you about the isness of God, it's not just that God can do power or God can be powerful. He is power. All power is in his hands. And when he starts something, all that potential is welled up on the inside. But that seed, ladies and gentlemen, if you put that seed in a sock drawer and you let it sit there for 50 years, what would happen to the seed? Nothing. It would remain alone. It still has potential, but because of where it's planted, it doesn't produce anything. Are you in the sock drawer? Hear me. A seed is only as good as its environment. You have to look at yourself and you have to say, where am I planted? If you take a seed and you put it in a mason jar and you fill it with bacteria and you seal that jar, that seed is now surrounded by the wrong company, and that bacteria would kill the enzymes of the seed and choke the life out of the seed. Check your company. Who are you hanging with? Who's speaking into your life? Who are you listening to? What is your environment? Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why the enemy is trying to kill this generation, this next generation, this now generation, is because he's afraid of what you're carrying. And so he goes after seeds, because he's smart enough to know, if I kill a seed, I don't just kill a seed, I kill a whole forest of potential. But I have good news for you and bad news for the devil. Amen. He can't have you because he didn't make you. He can't take you because he didn't create you. God has a plan and a purpose to prosper you and not to harm you. And if you could just submit to the plan and the call of God on your life, he cannot win. Saul finally gets up from the ground. The Bible says when he opens his eyes, he can see nothing. he's blind. And now I submit to you that the only place Saul could now look wasn't to his religion. It wasn't to all that he had learned. It wasn't to everybody else that was around him. Now the only place Saul could look was inside himself. And it was there for 3 days that Jesus began to show and reveal to Saul what he could see inside of him the whole time. It was there, I submit to you today, that for 3 days Saul began to see the true greatness of who he was really called to be. It was there that Saul began to discover a man that would bring forth the gospel and 2/3 of the Bible that we preach from today. It was there that Saul the murderer began to see Paul the apostle. It was there that Saul began to see even the things that I do today, God could turn around for the good. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Saul was saying to himself, I'm sure that day, now I can see. I can see who I am. I can see who you've called me to be. I can see clearly now. The miracle of this story is that Saul, the Bible tells us, was carrying letters to Damascus to kill Christians. But after he has this encounter with Jesus, the same man who was carrying letters to go bring death to Christians, God would turn him around. And he would then carry letters to bring life to Christians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon. God can turn you around in a moment. You see, sometimes we're on the right road, just in the wrong direction. But the very thing the enemy has been trying to use to take you out, God says, I'll use that thing to put you in. The very thing the enemy was trying to use to kill you, I'll use that thing to bring millions, if not billions of people into the kingdom of God. God will flip the script so fast on the devil he won't know what hit him. And I'm speaking to creatives, and I'm speaking to dreamers, and I'm speaking to people that you're searching for your purpose and your destiny, and I'm telling you, your time is now. And you're going to leave this place tonight saying this, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. He's called me to something greater than this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. I can see clearly now. Stand to your feet all over this room. As you're standing, just out of reverence, I'd like to ask that you don't even speak to the person on your left or on your right. We'll only have you for a few more moments. But I would simply ask for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. The very first thing I want to do is I just want you, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to take a look inside of who you really are. I don't want you to see somebody who's broken. I don't want you to see somebody who's addicted. I don't want you to see somebody who's discouraged. If you walked in this place and you were feeling those emotions, know that those emotions are not there to master you. They are merely your emotions. But I want you to see who God says you are. You know what he says about you? Regardless of who you are, regardless of your age and your stage and your race, he says this. He says, you are my beloved. He says, in you I am well pleased. He says, I have destiny for you. I have purpose for you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I want you to begin to see what God sees. He sees a champion in you. He sees purpose in you. He sees a smile on your face again. He sees strength in who you are again. I feel the Holy Spirit so strong. You're in this room, and God's calling you into your purpose. We don't have time to wait for you any longer, young man. With one of the largest, if not the largest, mass shooting in U.S. history taking place in Orlando, Florida, we need people who can grab the next murderer before he takes the gun into his hands and say, God has a plan for you too, sir. We need young people who will stop judging out of religious spirit, culture, and say, I'm going to infiltrate culture. I'm not going to judge people by what they wear or what they sing or what they listen to. I'm just going to get up in there and I'm going to influence the culture with Christ. I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that in this room, as you look inside of who you are, some of you, the Holy Spirit's just going to drop something in your spirit. Some of you are going to need to write it down. I believe there are books that need to be written, and the authors are in this room. I believe there are churches that need to be planted, and those pastors are in this room. I believe there are millions of people to be saved, and the missionaries that will go are in this room. I believe there are presidents of companies, that there are influential people. I believe there are songs to be recorded and music to be produced. I believe there are paintings that a wall will one day hold. I believe that there is so much potential in this room, but you run the risk of dying with it still inside of you. And everything God put on the inside of you, He wants to get out of you. But what we have to do is see it. We have to see it. We have to see that it's there. It was nearly impossible for Daniel Gray to ever see himself preaching even a sermonette, even praying from a stage with a microphone, much less doing what I get to do today. And people look at me and they say, you're doing what it seems like you were born to do. But all the way up until I was an adult, I never even saw it. I never even saw it. But God saw it the whole time. What is it that's inside of you that you cannot see, but God's trying to pull back the curtain and let you see a prophetic picture and portrait of who He's called you to be? Maybe people have said you'll never be anything. Maybe you were unfortunate and people told you you would never amount to anything, that you were worthless and that you're not gifted and you're not talented, and everything you do, you're horrible at. Maybe somebody told you that, or maybe you just felt it. I want you to see greatness tonight. I want you to see who God's called you to be. Tonight we're going to let the Holy Spirit move. You're in this room and you want to begin to step into your divine destiny, then I just simply want you, without fear or hesitation, without any manipulation from a leader in this church, if you feel like tonight is the night that you begin to look on the inside of who you are and begin to take another step closer. I know this is a very broad and wide call, and it's that way on purpose, because I believe if we're all honest, we could all respond to this altar call. But if you're saying, Daniel, I want to be the one that's taking a step toward what He has for me, I want to see what's on the inside of me, then very slowly and calmly, I just want you to get as close to this altar as you can. From this side to this side, as close as you can, come to this altar right now. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign. We want you to do what you can do. We want you to speak. We want you to reveal. We want you to open up the heavens so that we can see clearly who you've called us to be. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are now gathered at this altar. I pray in the name of Jesus, would you show them who they are? Call them to the higher level. Call them into their destiny. Somebody needs to hear this. Young person, you're not next, you're now. The world needs something that you have. I have to be careful in how I deal with this. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. But some of you gathered in this room, you have contemplated suicide in the last 30 days. You have literally thought about taking your own life. God says to you today, the fact that you can take a breath of oxygen is my proof to you that there is a reason for you to be alive. I want you to see that in your spirit. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set the atmosphere for what God's going to do. I want you, if you're at this altar, to lift your hands. Have this band leads for a second. I'm going to step away, and we're just going to worship together for just a moment, and then we're going to press in a little further. Come on, let's sing this song. Let the heavens open over your life. Let the heavens open over your dream. Let the heavens open over your family. Let the heavens open. As the man of God said earlier, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. There's no pain. There's no discouragement. There's no discomfort. And right now I want to speak into some people's lives. I sense under the unction of the Holy Ghost. You walked in here depressed. Somebody, you walked in here depressed. Somebody, you walked in here lonely and discouraged. Somebody, you walked in here and you thought, man, I don't even really want to be a part of this, because every time I come to something like this, I leave feeling like something's going to be better, but it doesn't turn out, doesn't pan out. And you came in doubting. This is the moment. As I said earlier, it's going to be more than a memory. You're going to say, that was the night everything shifted for me. Going to begin to see who you are called to greatness, called to your family. Someone in this room needs to hear this. You've been wondering and searching and hoping and praying and asking God, how are you going to do this in my family? Tonight the Holy Spirit wants to say to someone, I'm going to do it through you. You're going to win them. You're going to preach to them. You're going to encourage them. You're going to help them in their time of need. God says, I'm going to let you be the light in the darkness. Hey. The anointing for healing is in the room. God is already, we don't even have to pray for this. God is already, I sense, healing people in their emotions. God is healing people in their thinking. God is healing people from memories of your past, abuse, things that have happened to you that have been sticking with you. And every time you close your eyes, that's what you see. God says, nuh-uh, not anymore. I'm going to replace those images with images of who I'm calling you to be. God says, when you close your eyes, you're going to see a child of God. You're going to see somebody who's healed from the very thing the enemy tried to use to take you out. He's healing people right now. If that's for you, just receive that. We don't have to rush this moment. Just receive that. Let him heal your heart. Let him heal your emotions. Let him heal you in your mind and your thinking. I sense the Holy Spirit so strong. He's here. He's in the room. And I sense a wave of his presence is about to come in this room.
Yes.
And miracles are going to occur.
Yes.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak right now that there are those in this room who are going to be healed in their physical body. God is going to heal people from migraine headaches. There's someone in this room, you've got a headache right now. In just a few minutes, it will be gone. There's people in this room, you're dealing with rheumatoid arthritis. Somebody specifically in your hands, in your fingers, in your arms, there's pain and it's nagging and you've kind of gotten used to it, but there are certain times where you wish that it wasn't there, but you don't have to wish and hope anymore. God's going to heal you, and we're going to pray and believe God that it's going to dissipate. There are people in the room with breathing issues, asthma, bronchitis. For some of you, it's as simple as allergies and sinus issues. God's going to begin to clear that thing up. There's someone here and you deal with muscle tension.
and your upper back and your shoulders, and it creeps up into your neck, and you deal with headaches, and you're popping Advil and ibuprofen left and right to try to alleviate the pain. There's people in here. There's someone in here. Oh, God. There's someone in here. And in your knee, every now and then, you move a certain way, and it tweaks your knee, and it gives you this horrible pain, and you have to limp on it until it goes away again. It's not something so serious that it causes this strain or tear, but it gets pain in your knee, and that condition's getting worse and worse and worse, but it's going to end tonight. It's going to stop tonight. There are people here that you deal with stomach aches, and it feels like knots in your stomach. And it's almost daily. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if that's you, God's going to heal you tonight. I sense ulcers, acid reflux caused by internal digestion issues. I sense somebody here tonight, there's something going on in your elbow. I don't know if it's tennis elbow or if it's something with your tendons, your ligaments that's causing pain. And you'll move a certain way and it hurts. God's going to touch that. Somebody in this room, you've got a vision problem. It's not blindness, but your vision condition is daily getting worse, and the doctors are telling you it's only going to get worse from here. And you see less and less, and it's just a daily reminder that your body is not in proper alignment. But God created those eyes. He created those nerves. He created that cornea. He created every part of your eye, and God wants you to see clearly. And I believe God's going to heal vision issues tonight. Scoliosis is going to come into proper alignment tonight in the name of Jesus. I sense something in the foot, almost like a, I don't know if it's called club foot or something like that, but I sense something almost like your arch in your foot isn't there, almost like your foot is flattened out. I sense that by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's going to heal you tonight. Your foot's going to go back to its proper shape. Ooh. Here's what I know. When the Holy Spirit begins to call out issues like this, and the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge begins to move, faith has to begin to arise in the room. And I don't even have to lay hands on you. But we're going to pray for a few minutes here in just a moment. And God's going to do miracles all over this room. Hear me. I may not be Benny Hinn, but I serve the same God. And the same power of His Spirit is available to us today in this room. If I called out something that you're dealing with, or maybe I didn't even call something that you're dealing with, but you say, Pastor Daniel, you didn't say what I'm dealing with, but I want to get my healing tonight. All over this room, the only people I want to raise one hand are the people that I either called an issue that you have, or you want somebody to pray for you to be healed. And I'm going to need prayer partners, I'm going to need leaders, I'm going to need youth pastors, I'm going to need people to help me right here. Because everyone that's around you, if you lift your hand, is going to come and put hands on you, and they're going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. If you have something that you need to be healed, put one hand high in the air all over this room. Look at all these people, look at all these people. All these needs, from the front of the room to the back of the room. If a hand is lifted near to you, I want you to turn toward that person. I want you to put your hand on them, and I want you to begin to pray for them for the next 2 minutes. I want you to begin to call down heaven. Ask Jesus to heal them by the power of God. We're going to ask right now for heavens to be open. In the name of Jesus, I command ligaments to be healed. I command back of your head and your neck tension to be healed. I ask God right now for you to heal and touch breathing issues. I thank you that people are going to take the deepest breath they've taken in years. I'm asking for sickness and disease to be obliterated by the power of God. Lord, we know that you heal. We know that you deliver. And we're asking for the heavens to be open in the name of Jesus right now. Right now. Right now. The stripes of Jesus Christ, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed in the name of Jesus.
strength is in you, Jesus.
Come on, don't look around. Get what God has for you in this place now. Come on. He's born. Come on, he's pouring it out in this place right now. Come on.
Seconds, if you lifted your hand and we were praying for you to be healed, I want you to check yourself. If it was your neck, I want you to move your neck in a way you couldn't move your neck. If it was a breathing issue, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. I want you to check yourself. If it was scoliosis, if it was something in your back, whether upper, lower, or all over, I want you to check it. Move in a way you couldn't move. If it was your arm, move it in a way that would have caused you pain. If it's your foot, take your shoe off if you have to. Run around the building if you have to. Do something to check yourself. I believe God is doing creative and has already done creative miracles in this room. Check yourself. Move in a way you couldn't move. Look at something that you couldn't normally see in a certain way. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. Here's what we're going to do. If you just checked yourself, you're about to be amazed. If you just checked yourself and you can tell that God, by His power, has healed you in your body, that you could do something you couldn't do, that you are, I'm not talking about, oh yeah, by faith I'm healed. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit just came and met you where you're at and you were healed in your body. And you say it's different, it's changed, it's a miracle. Then on the count of three, I want you to put that same hand you lifted high in the air and wave at me like a drowning man, saying, I got healed. One, two, three. Quickly, right where you're at. Hands all over the room. Come on. Give God some praise for all these hands. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Look at all these healings. We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, but I want you to see this. If you lifted your hand, I want you, as fast as you can, get up on the stage and come and join the band all the way across the stage. Quickly, right where you're at. Just say, excuse me to the person on your left, excuse me to the person on your right, and I want you to come and stand on this stage, all the way across the stage. We're going to take it a step further. Now, as these are coming, Pastor, I want to make sure I do this. If you lifted your hand for healing tonight, if this doesn't amaze you, I don't know what does, by the way. If you lifted your hand for healing and then you checked yourself, they just keep on coming. If you checked yourself and nothing's different, you say, Pastor Daniel, look, I mean, I'd like to be on the stage, but I still feel this pain. I don't feel like anything changed. It still feels the same. Nothing happened for me. Understand this, and I only have you for a moment to share this. God heals in all kinds of ways, honestly. God uses physicians to heal. God uses you walking through a process of your faith to be healed. But there are really two kinds of ways you can be healed. You can be healed by the gift of God that's called a miracle, which is what we see here. You can also be healed by the gift of God that's called healing. And sometimes a healing takes a process. One great woman of God was a healing evangelist. If I said her name, you'd know who she was. I heard her say, I was traveling all over the world praying for people like this to be healed, and miracles were happening. I mean, cancer was dissipating. Tumors were falling off at the altar. Creative miracles were happening. While the whole time I had a growth on my back. And every day I would go and preach these healing crusades and everybody was being healed, but I still had this growth on my back. She said every morning I would get up and I would look at myself in the mirror, even though nothing was changing, and I would say, you are healed in the name of Jesus. And I would go about my day. She said, until one morning, I did the same thing. I got in the shower like I always do. And while I was taking a shower, I felt something hit the floor. I looked over, and it was the growth off my back. She said, in that moment, I just said, huh, it's about time. What's the point? The point is, no matter what changes right now, God can still heal you. He's just looking for faith. Because your faith, guess what? It honors God, and then God honors your faith. Somebody give Him praise. See, normally when I do this, I go down the line and I let everybody tell you what they were healed from. We might be here 2 hours. I just wanted you to see it. I want you to take a picture. You don't have to take it with your phone. Take it in your mind's eye. But you remember that the power of God is still available today. All we have to do is believe. And He heals. Let me ask you. What happened with you? Just tell us on the mic.
Migraines.
Did you have a headache tonight or no? Or you had a headache while I was preaching the whole night? And then what happened?
Gone away.
It went away. Come on, somebody praise God. We might need more in this microphone, but tell us what happened.
I have really bad neck and shoulder pain. It's gone.
And neck and shoulder pain is gone. Anybody up here? I had some very specific things. You want to share? Come on, I'll let you share.
Just like a week and a half ago, I literally broke this hand. Like, it was a clean, like, split down, and in 1 week I could literally move it, and it's not even in a splint.
Come on, somebody. Was anybody, I felt really strong. Now, if I explain to you, sometimes when I do this, I literally feel things. It's weird, I know, but sometimes I feel things. I literally felt and feel still this pain in my elbow, like it's tennis elbow or something. Was that anybody up here on the stage that it was your elbow? Come on. Will you tell us what happened?
I have what they think is arthritis in my elbows, and they ache all the time, and they're still tingling.
Wow. And you believe God has healed you? Do you feel different? It's tingling. Tingling in a good way.
Yeah, tingling in a good way.
Come on, somebody. Come on, I want you to give all these people a round of applause. Come on, incredible. We got to get ready to wrap this up. We're going to do one more thing, but here's what I want to do. I want everybody that's on the stage, I didn't give everybody the opportunity to share. I want you to tell somebody. Tell your pastor, tell your family, tell your leader. If you say, I don't have a pastor, then come and tell Pastor Gene right here. Wave at everybody, let you see. I want you to give testimony of what God did in your life, because I'm certain that there are some testimonies here that are incredible that we want to share with the church, and we want to share with those people who are here that God healed you in a miraculous way. You guys can be excused from the stage. Come and join us back down here. One more time, give them a round of applause. We're going to do one last thing. Us to end tonight on a high note. I want us to end tonight the way that we entered in to this message with that last song. I want to end tonight with how God moved through an open heaven. And I want us to sing this song again, and then Pastor TJ, I'm sure, is going to do something. But I want you one last time just to ask God for that continual open heaven, an open heaven over your life. That what's happened here, remember, is more than a memory, that you're going to take it with you everywhere you go. So I want to pray for everyone in this room one last time. So if you would you just so kindly lift both hands in the air just for a moment? When I used to be a little thug, and I used to get in a lot of trouble, I used to have to lift my hands a lot because many times, more than once, a police officer said to me, once with a gun pointed at me, he said, "Put your hands up, you're under arrest." Tonight, we put our hands up because we are under arrest to the presence of God and that open heaven for our lives. So I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, "Jesus, I need you. I want you. Let me live under an open heaven in Jesus' name." Come on, give him a worthy praise in this place. Come on.
Come on, let's celebrate God with the worship in this place. Come on, lift it up.
Let the heavens roar. Let your kingdom move.
Come on, let's celebrate our King in this place. Come on, our great God. Come on, one more time, let's throw it up. Let the heavens open.
Let the heavens open. Let your kingdom move.
Come on, he's still moving in this place even now. Come on, church, let's worship him and thank him. We had over 40 people get healed. Come on, let's worship.
Let me open.
Come on.
Let your kingdom move.
Hey.
All I've prayed
our great God. Now let's sing this part right here. Just like this, everybody sing it. Come on.
No hell locked up, let it open.
Hey.
No peace has still, let it move. I'll make God trust our hope. Our great God.
Come on, sing it to him tonight. Come on, lift it up.
No heaven locked up, let it open. No kings stand still, let it move.
Hey.
Our faith, our trust.
Come on, one more time. Let's blow the roof off this place. Come on, let's go.
No heaven locked up, let it open.
Come on, generation. We're a now generation. Lift it up.
Our faith, our trust.
Come on! Our great God! One more time! Come on now, generation! Come on!
No heaven locked up, let it open. Our great God! Our great God!
Give him a shout! Come on! Come on, keep it going. Lift up a hand. Well, did anybody receive that word in this place tonight? One more time, show Pastor Daniel how much you appreciate him for giving us his passion all Sunday long. Come on, give it up for Pastor Daniel. Now, I got one more question. Do y'all want him to come back sometime? Pastor Daniel, get your schedule ready. You're coming back. Well, y'all know, if y'all know me, listen, I don't know if y'all understood what just happened here. We just had over 40 people get a physical healing. And so what we are going to do to close out this night for just like 3 more minutes is we are going to celebrate that. Is that okay if we celebrate that? Is that all right if we celebrate that? So I need to see y'all putting your hands together. Look at the person next to you and say, "I may need a little room." We're going to get loud in here. We're going to sing this part that just says, "Oh," and I want to hear y'all sing it. Come on, let's teach to them. Oh, 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 oh. Mike Wooden, go crazy on these lights, man. We about to go out. Let's go. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, church, you got it. And say,
oh, oh, oh.
Come on, let's go.
Oh, 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 oh.
Let's go. Come on.
Oh, 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 oh.
Come on, one more time. Let me hear you say.
Oh, oh, oh.
Let's go.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh,
come on, let's stir it up one more time. Come on, and say.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
Let's go.
Oh,
time.
singing from your heart. Let's go. Drop it down. Let me hear y'all singing. Let's go. Woo, y'all sound good. Come on. Sing one more time. Let's go. Y'all sound so good, church. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Shut. Hey. All right. Now, y'all probably like, what in the world are they about to do? Let me explain something. You know, I see people at football games, Web City football fans. Do I have any Web City football fans in the place? Yeah. I see, you know, NBA fans, the NBA finals are going on, and they will cut to another team's arena, and people are absolutely losing their mind. You know, they got confetti falling, they're going crazy. People are crying, signing babies' foreheads, all sort of crazy stuff. And you're like, man, they're doing that for a basketball game or a basketball player. And so I got to thinking, what if we did that about Jesus? And I said, you know, this night is going to be a success because God is going to do some awesome things. But I didn't know, he even blew my mind by healing over 40 people tonight. So I believe that deserves a crazy praise. Look at your neighbor and say, let's have a crazy praise. Now, listen, a crazy praise is not like looking all cute. Like a crazy praise is like, So for these next 25 seconds, look at your neighbor and say, give me some elbow room, give me some elbow room. And if you need my sweat towel, come see me after this. But we are about to absolutely go crazy in this place for what Jesus has done. Does anybody want to go crazy in this place? So y'all ready? Here we go. Clap those hands. I'm serious, y'all. Go absolutely crazy. Y'all ready? Keep those hands going. Come on. One more time. So on the count of three, I want you to go absolutely crazy. All right, I need somebody jumping. I need somebody doing flips. If you want to come on the stage and get crazy with us, that's cool too. Y'all ready? Band, go with me. We about to go crazy. Here we go. One. Get ready. Two. Go, one, two, go crazy! Let's go! Let's go! Come on, everybody, let's go! One, two, three, go! Jump, 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 ha! Let's go! Jump, jump, jump! Come on, get up here! Come on, get up here! Let's go! One, two, three, go, jump, jump, jump. Let's go. Everybody go, jump, jump, jump. One more time, everybody go, jump, jump, jump. Let's go, jump, 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 jump. Give God a shout of praise. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. We'll see you for the gathering 2017. Have a great night. Be safe. We love you. Let's go.